Hey there, it's Joshua. Thanks for listening to 1A. Before we dive in, I have a quick favor to ask. This month, we would really like some input on how we're doing. What you like, what you don't like, what we could be doing better, what you want us to keep and not change. Let us know. Text the word podcast to 63735. You'll get some updates from us from time to time. You can text stop to stop getting them. Again, that's podcast to 63735. Thanks. On with the show. This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. The wealthy family behind OxyContin is under more scrutiny in the scandal over America's opioid crisis. The Sackler family owns Purdue Pharma. That's the company that makes OxyContin. Purdue Pharma's former chairman and president, Richard Sackler, has patented a drug to wean addicts off of OxyContin, and it could dramatically advance the fight against a national scourge. But some critics say that's kind of like an arsonist patenting the fire extinguisher. What's really going on? And regardless of who's getting rich, could this new drug help fight opioid abuse and save lives? We'll get into that after you hear this.
The following message comes from our sponsor, Capital One. The CreditWise app recently added dual bureau credit alerts from Experian and TransUnion to help users more quickly identify signs of error, theft, or fraud. Here's CreditWise designer Bev Yang.
The alerts that we just released send a user a message so that it's like, hey, just so you know, this is what's different, and they can focus on the new information to decide what they want to do.
CreditWise is free for everyone, whether you're a Capital One customer or not. You can find CreditWise in your app or Play Store now. Support also comes from NPR sponsor Indeed. If you're hiring, with Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on your shortlist of qualified candidates using an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/NPR podcast.
Joining us from New York is David Crow, senior U.S. business correspondent for the Financial Times. David, welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us in New York is Barry Meyer, former staff reporter and Pulitzer Prize winner with the New York Times. He's the author of Painkiller, An Empire of Deceit and the Origin of America's Opioid Epidemic. Barry, welcome.
Thanks, Joshua.
I should note that we did reach out to Purdue Pharma for comment. We received no response, but that invitation still stands. Barry Meyer, let me start with you and Richard Sackler, who got this patent. Explain it to us briefly. As I understand it, he's kind of restructuring an existing medication that would gradually wean addicts off opioids. Is that right?
Correct. As I understand it, this is basically a patent that covers an existing drug called buprenorphine, which is the medication of choice for addiction treatment at the moment. And it's essentially a readily absorbable form of buprenorphine. So it's much like other drugs that Purdue has produced over the years, including OxyContin, which is essentially taking old wine and putting it into a new bottle.
Give us a quick sense, Barry, of who exactly Richard Sackler is and his family's connection to the opioid industry.
Right. So Richard Sackler is the son of Raymond Sackler, and Raymond Sackler is one of three Sackler brothers, all of whom are now deceased. The eldest of the Sackler brothers, Arthur Sackler, essentially created the drug advertising industry back in the 1950s. And he set up his two younger brothers, Raymond and Mortimer Sackler, in Purdue Pharma, the drug company that would go on to produce OxyContin. So over the past five decades, the three Sackler brothers were all involved in the advertising, marketing, and production of pharmaceutical drugs, most notably OxyContin. And Richard Sackler kind of came in. He was the scion of this fortune and ran the business for a while.
David, before I come to you, Barry, if I'm not mistaken, Arthur Sackler, the kind of progenitor of this family, made his bones in the world by marketing directly to doctors. He kind of pioneered that with, I think it was Valium. Is that right?
Yes, Valium and Librium, the kind of twin drugs. And he kind of recast the entire way that pharmaceuticals were sold to doctors. He created not only the first advertisements directly to doctors, he created the whole system where doctors essentially became captives and frontmen for drug companies by putting them on the company payroll.
David Crowe, give us a sense of how much the Sacklers have, for lack of a better term, profited from this crisis. OxyContin, particularly in its earlier forms, could be crushed, kind of regranulated, and used for addicts to get their high. Give us a sense of what the financials look like for them, not only from the existing crisis, but also if this newly patented drug turns out to catch on.
Well, Purdue Pharma is a private company, so it's very difficult actually to get a sense of their finances. What we do know, according to Forbes, is that the family itself is very rich. Last estimate puts their combined wealth at about $13 billion, almost all of that flowing from their pharmaceutical interests, of which OxyContin is by far the largest. We've done a little mini series on Purdue recently, and the other thing we found out in addition to this patent is that they own another opioid drug maker called Rhodes Pharmaceuticals. And then, so there's another part, the Rhodes Pharmaceuticals part, it makes generic opioids. And then you have this patent, which could be very lucrative indeed. The main sort of branded producer of buprenorphine at the moment is a British company called Indivior. They make Suboxone. And last year, they had sales of a little over $800 million. So not as big as OxyContin, but certainly nothing to be sniffed at either.
Do we have a sense of how Purdue Pharma is doing? I mean, is this new drug a way to shore up its finances? I'm sure that the controversy over OxyContin has taken a toll on its bottom line.
Well, it's very curious, actually, because the patent is held not by Purdue, but by this other company, also owned by the Sacklers that I just mentioned, which is Rhodes Pharma. Now, when you talk to people that have some sight of the company's finances, they say they're under pressure, that sales of OxyContin are falling. Purdue fired almost, the vast majority of its sales force earlier this year, and they have mounting legal liabilities. And some people think that Rhodes Pharmaceuticals might actually be a landing pad for the Sackler family, hence why this patent is held not within Purdue, but within this other company, Rhodes.
Glad to hear from some of you also, including those of you who have been caught up in the opioid addiction scandal that have legitimate needs for OxyContin. We should remember this is a prescription drug. And every time we have this conversation, we hear a number of comments like what Maria posted on our Facebook page. Maria writes, "Please don't overlook the real victims of the overzealous restrictions on opioids. Chronically ill patients are not the ones getting hooked, yet we are the ones being punished." Sandy commented on our Facebook page, "That entire family needs to be in prison for drug dealing. They are all billionaires after having addicted the entire country to OxyContin, and now they made a drug to counteract the addiction." And DCC tweeted, "It's wrong, but isn't this how capitalism works?" Dick Durbin, a senator from Illinois, had this to say over the summer about the Sackler family.
"Our communities across the country are facing the suffering caused by this crisis. We need to do more to hold pharma responsible for this deadly, irresponsible, and many times criminal conduct. Let's start by bringing them to testify under oath before the United States Senate."
That was Illinois Democratic Senator Dick Durbin speaking over the summer. Barry, does creating this drug actually mean the manufacturers are responsible for its use? I mean, what do we see in terms of the efforts to hold Purdue and the Sacklers, or rather Rhodes Pharma and the Sacklers, accountable for what's going on?
Well, one of the great tragedies of this whole epidemic is the fact that Purdue Pharma really wasn't held to account. As I wrote in the new edition of Painkiller, and an excerpt of that was published in the New York Times in late May, the prosecutors that were prosecuting Purdue back in the mid-2000s had recommended that the top executives of Purdue be indicted on felony charges. The prosecution memo they wrote also shows significant evidence that members of the Sackler family were told about the growing abuse of OxyContin. Now, this prosecution didn't go forward because top executives of the Justice Department essentially crushed it. You know, they came under pressure from lawyers for Purdue, from lobbyists for Purdue. And so, you know, what we know now that there was information that was conveyed to the Sackler family very early on in the late 1990s when OxyContin was first marketed, that this drug was being abused. And I think, you know, to write the final chapter, to bring justice to this entire situation, we need to know what this family knew, when they knew it, and what they did about it, if anything.
David, do we have any sense that there's been a real effort to hold the Sacklers accountable for their role in this crisis? I mean, Dick Durbin, I don't think, is the first senator or the first lawmaker to say that the Sacklers or someone from their companies should be forced to testify, forced to speak up.
Well, there's undoubtedly an effort. I mean, there are about 1,000 lawsuits against Purdue, and then there is one lawsuit that's getting a lot of attention at the moment from the Attorney General in Massachusetts, which names 8 members of the Sackler family as defendants as well. And that's the first time, if you like, that the sort of fight from the company, fight against the company, switched to the family themselves. Now, when you talk to people that know the Sackler family, they say that they will try to do anything they can to avoid testifying, to avoid being deposed, and to avoid lawyers coming in and doing discovery inside Purdue, and that they will try to settle this. People say the only thing they value more than their money is their privacy. So whether we ever get that moment, get that final chapter, still as yet is unclear.
And before we wrap up, David, where does this go from here? Is there a next step in terms of the patent process, the litigation? What should we be watching out for next?
Well, one thing that some people that I spoke to when I was reporting this mentioned, and I think it's something to watch out for, is that they wondered whether or not this patent mightn't be used by the Sacklers to try and offer some kind of restitution. Might they find some way of giving this away for free to try to reduce their moral or legal liabilities? So I think that's something to watch out for. And of course, remember, they'd still be profiting indirectly there, especially if it meant that any kind of financial settlements were smaller as a result. But it could be a creative way that they end up trying to wriggle out of this.
One last comment from Sage, who wrote on our Facebook page, "I'm guessing this will be one of those lifelong drugs for them. Amazing business model, make billions getting them hooked, now wait to make billions by controlling that addiction." David Crow, senior U.S. business correspondent for the Financial Times. David, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
And Barry Meyer, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Painkiller, An Empire of Deceit and the Origin of America's Opioid Epidemic. Thank you, Barry.
It was a pleasure, Joshua.
This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. This is 1A.
What's unique about the human experience, and what do we all have in common? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on TED Radio Hour, we go on a journey through the big ideas, emotions, and discoveries that fill all of us with wonder. Find it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planet Money tip number 17. Sometimes the most important things need a hype squad.
Corporate.
Income.
Tax.
Corporate income tax!
Planet Money, a podcast about the economy. A very enthusiastic podcast about the economy.